when he was the 53rd?
Yeah, let me jump ahead because that's kind of a lot further down here.
Yeah, well, I because the
but we running out of time. I get it.
Yeah, well, there's that part. Plus, this is a very cool story that I want everybody to just go read in detail. What was going on there with Anshar and Gonzalez and the children and the hanging out. So that's the, and, right. And it again, everybody, this is a very detailed paper. We would need a week on the show to take this apart, but where he talks about the meeting with the Sentinels and the Guardians.
No, I'm there. So this is another thing where during the time that Corey has been meeting with these Anshar, he has he drinks this kind of psychedelic potion that they call the Elixir of Isis. And I know some people are going to get tripped up on this, so I just want to be clear. Yes, the Cabal co-opted names like Ra and Isis from Egyptian mythology. But all the work that you get into with the Edgar Cayce readings and the Law of One says that those beings were originally positive and doing good things for humanity. And like so many things, the negative is the master interloper. It wants to jump in, take over, claim everything that's cool for itself. So apparently these inner earth beings have some kind of ayahuasca type of thing they drink, but they call it the Elixir of Isis, and it gives you this kind of psychedelic, psychic experience. And after he drinks this with the Anshar, which remember, if you followed the story, in the past he always refused it. He wouldn't drink it. This time he actually did. And they all hug him, and then after that he walks down a corridor, comes back into this main huge cavern, and sees this saucer-shaped craft with a ramp coming out of it, and these three men from one of the inner earth groups that has the Omega symbol on it. They're wearing one-piece jumpsuits, royal blue, and then he is told that they're going to a base near Saturn to meet this Saturn Council. And this is very interesting because the Law of One actually does talk about the Council of Saturn. Now, there are certain books and certain authors who have tried to make this into something evil. And we've heard that the deep state was behind that. They know about the Law of One. They feel very threatened that this material might be widely known to us. So they try to talk about anything that has to do with the Council of Saturn or the Council of Nine is very evil. But you got to remember, Saturn is just a planet, and the planets are basically part of the creation. And so it's not that a planet is evil or a location is evil. And in the Law of One, if you actually read it, it says that the main administrative groups in the higher levels, the guardian groups, not the super federation that we met before, but the really high level ETs that are the benevolent ones that are like the angels, the Elohim, they meet in an area outside Saturn. And then Corey also sees these sentinel beings, which interestingly enough appear to be some kind of projection from this ancient builder race that goes all the way back over a billion years ago and lived at one point on Venus. And one of the most interesting things that ever happened to Corey was his alleged trip to Venus, where he saw some very, very massive buildings and comes up to this huge obelisk with all these colorful symbols racing across it and meets with this being that he calls the Sentinel that has this very funny kind of Easter Island-looking face.
Right.
So this is what he goes into, and then he gets into a group of people, 40 representatives from inner earth groups and a slightly larger group of beings standing in a group at the far end of the room. And then Kari tells him to join this group, and she calls this group the Witnesses. And then Tyr-Air shows up again, Ra Tyr-Air, the blue avian, and says, please count the Witnesses. He counts 52. And then Tyr-Air says, you are the 53rd. And so this is really cool because what happens at this point is that we're told that this group of witnesses is sort of like an administrative body for the new way that things are going to be able to run. And it's not like Corey is trying to set himself up as a messianic figure here or anything like that. It's just that he's being brought in, and this is sort of like having a diplomat. I would say it's more like a diplomat. It's not messianic.
Okay? No, or more like a witness.
Yeah.
That's the way I
just
kind of
witness, right. Just to witness what we're being told, to share the information and bring it back to us. Because, you
That's
know,
right.
Most people would never believe this stuff. I totally get that, even though there's all these weird things that correlate it with research you can do. But he's told that basically we're now going into a new energy zone. The sun is going to do its thing. We're going to have the solar flash. And that we're now going to be able to manage things on our own. We're going to be able to bring in information from higher beings and share that information with the group consciousness of the people that we're with. He said that hundreds of thousands of beings from the same soul group are living on our planets, and we're going to be able to help those people, you know, pass this information along. And then the really big part of this is that we're introduced to two new guardian groups.
Now also, I thought you were going to go somewhere else, because at this moment where he is told about this, and told to prepare, that the room suddenly fills up with thousands of blue orbs.
That's right.
They're everywhere.
Very stunning. Yeah.
And then, bam, then it happens. What happens?
So he meets these new guardians, and for some reason, he is not being allowed to tell us what they look like yet. And I think that's because the blue avians were really upset in some ways that we made illustrations of them, and they said people started to worship them, which they did not want. They don't want to be prayed to. They don't want to be treated like gods. They're just here to help us, and they say they're above no one and below no one. So the new guardians were not being told what they look like on purpose. The part that's kind of bittersweet and sad for me is that after he gets introduced to the new guardians, he's told that the blue avians and the golden triangle head beings are literally not going to be manifesting in our reality anymore except through dreams. So that means that any of us who wanted to meet these beings, they're not going to be available anymore like they were in physical form as Corey was seeing them. They're only going to be available in a higher dimension now through dreams. And, you know, I admit it kind of frustrated me, because I would have liked to have had the same things happen to me that have happened to Corey. But by getting these new guardians involved, apparently, we're now going to have
access to them.
Yeah, and we're going to have much greater support. They're going to help us through every stage of this solar flash, this sudden telepathic ability that we get, where it's like you're stuck into a psychedelic trip all of a sudden, but it doesn't go away. And, you know, sometimes it's set and setting, right? You could either have a really great experience and be blissed out, or you could have a terrifying experience. And so if we all get thrown into something like that together, and you can't really turn it off, you have to adapt to a new consciousness, which includes hearing people's thoughts in your head, just like they're talking to you out loud, which includes being able to know that you lived before, being able to know you had past lives, having a sense of what your soul wants, having a sense of what your purpose is, possibly being able to develop telekinesis, eventually being able to levitate objects, to fly, having access to advanced technology, being able to interact with extraterrestrials. All this kind of stuff is apparently coming much sooner than we normally would think. And this is the greatest line right here. Tyr Air stated, "We have reached the point where we have to decide to get off of our knees and become our own saviors. We are at the beginning of the great awakening that will lead to our very own consciousness renaissance." And that totally refutes what the haters of the skeptics have said, which is Corey is trying to say we should worship these blue birds. Couldn't be farther from the truth, Jimmy.
No. Cannot be
further. The
point
is, they're trying to get us to help ourselves here.
And he says at this point that Tyr Air and the Golden Triangle being and the other blue avians that were present, you know, you have the in service to all, in service to one. They turned both palms forward, bowed toward each group of the delegation. Once they bowed to the group of witnesses, they faded and disappeared. It's kind of a weird thing to read. Yeah, it was kind of, you know, it was like this finality thing, which is what happens next. There was a celebration. But he says that the new guardians addressed us to give us some cosmic ground rules for going forward. Told us not to share the information, and then they just disappeared. And yep. The excitement in the room was amazing. The blue orbs came and took each
Pulled
of the
everybody out.
Took everybody out, and then they hugged. Right? They yep. they were happy. I'll let you continue.
Okay, so the next thing is Corey goes back home. He has a little closing meeting with the Anshar. He goes back home. There's a little bit in here about how the area that he's moved to in Colorado, that he's got a huge community of Air Force and retired CIA personnel. So there's possibly some very interesting meetings that he could have.
Oh, let's stop right there for a second. We're going to head towards a break. So Corey is, yep. Because I thought that this was really interesting. So Corey moves into his new house, and he's, you know, he's making nice with the neighbors, hanging out with the park. Right. He's got his kids walking dogs and doing whatever. And he just finds out that, well, the person across the street is retired CIA. The person over here is party, right? And
but, dude, let me just say this, too. This is really important. The Alliance here on Earth, the people who don't actually have access to the secret space program, they have set up advanced surveillance equipment in his house, and they have confirmed that these things that he said are happening to him are really happening. They've apparently filmed him getting portaled out. And so the Alliance on Earth here has really changed and shifted, and they've become much more positive, and they believe this now in a way that they did not before. And that's a very important point.
Now, we're going to go to a break right here. Corey comes back. He goes back to Colorado, and well, right after all of this, we're going to start this next section when we come back. David, I don't know how you and I got through this tonight. A lot of information here. But when we come back, the dart, the famous craft, the dart, comes back into play, and he goes back to the Lunar Operations Center. And what is
Oumuamua?
Yes. What is revealed to him there is absolutely amazing. So let's take a break. Filling in for Corey Good tonight is the only person that could. That is David Wilcock. This is Fade. Got David Wilcock here. David goes back to Colorado. The dart shows up, and it's pretty visible as to what is going on here. And he heads back to the LOC. Go ahead.
But deeper in than he'd ever been permitted before. So he's in the deeper levels of it now.
Of the LOC.
LOC, which is Lunar Operations Command. Yeah, this is a central nexus for the secret space program. It's sort of like a Grand Central Station that people use to come and go from various places. So he goes to this conference room. And when he's in the room, there's Gonzalez again. Gonzalez is with him. He gets picked up by the dart from his home. Actually, I guess it's a football field nearby his house or something like that. I have to go back and look at that.
But that's right.
Anyway, lo and behold, he sees Sigmund. Now, this is what's so crazy, because Sigmund was the guy who showed up later in the saga and began very darkly, about 12 times, I think this happened. Sigmund began abducting Corey, giving him chemical and technological interrogation, using some advanced equipment on him to put him into a state where he can't lie, and used Corey with the smart glass pad thing to out various people who were in the SSP Alliance, the Secret Space Program Alliance. And this actually caused the Alliance to really become disheartened, to actually break up for a while. This guy was very aggressive, and this is the key. He's part of the Air Force Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, Secret Space Program, which we've been calling the MIC program, Military Industrial Complex, MIC. That program has cloaked floating aircraft carriers in our atmosphere. They kind of hang around the Earth. They have a couple little outposts on Mars and the Moon, not too much. They do have some craft that can zip around our solar system, but those craft do not have the ability to leave our solar system. And everybody at this level of the game is told that's all there is to know, that they are the highest, the most advanced, they have the greatest security clearance. There's nothing more to the story than this. And apparently this whole thing was built specifically for a time in the future when disclosure would happen, so they could disclose something, and these people would literally fight to the death under torture, saying that this is the only truth there is, having no idea that, as Sigmund found out once he really got into this, my God, they told us we were at the top and we're only the effing Coast Guard. So there's this other group that's the Navy secret space program, the deeper one that Corey was involved in, and these MIC guys don't even know about it. Sigmund started investigating it. He was supposed to be one of their main spokespeople to disclose the MIC one to humanity. But then in the course of interrogating Corey, he pulled hair samples and said, wait a minute, this guy's got trace minerals showing that he's been at these off-planet locations, because we know exactly how to test for that. How the heck was he there if he wasn't a part of our program and we have no records of him? So that's what set Sigmund on this path. So Sigmund ultimately discovered the truth, and he got screwed by his own people. And instead of becoming one of the most important people on Earth to disclose this amazing reality to us that validates so many sci-fi movies, he has to go into hiding. And we didn't know where he was. We thought he was dead. And so for him to show up once again, it's as if every plot thread that Corey's been sharing with us for 2.5 years, they've all resolved. They've all come to a grand finale. So amazing. Because we never would have expected to see Sigmund showing up with the SSP Alliance. And then Sigmund says, Corey says to Sigmund when he meets him, I'm a bit shocked to see you here after I gave the SSP Alliance my report where I said I felt that you were infiltrating them. He said Sigmund stood up and began shouting at him, saying, you have no idea what I've given up to be here. And he yells, I lost everything. Points his finger into Corey's face and says, intuitive empath, my ass. This guy's a very salty military-type character.
Right.
And then he goes on to basically tell us that we as a UFO community have been very compromised. And the people in the secret space program, basically what we've been hearing, there's a lot more briefings about this than what's in this paper. They're going to do this military-industrial complex space program thing where they show us some exotic craft and stuff. They're going to totally bypass the UFO community. We're going to be able to use the information that they put out, but they're apparently not going to work with us directly. And it was embarrassing because, you know, I've always said this, Jimmy, we either hang together or we hang separately. And I mean that in the direst sense. We have to be a team. We need unity in the community. You and I talk about this every time.
Yes, we do.
But it's not really happening. We want it, you want it, I want it. You're out there integrating everybody together, bringing them all under one umbrella, fade to black. But it's not really clicking.
Why do you think, because he points out here, Sigmund, he asserted that the Nordics were screwing around and messing with our heads, but he says again. And I thought that was really interesting. What do you think Sigmund meant by again?
Yeah, there's other briefings that I've had that are not in here. And those MIC guys think that the Blue Avians were just a holographic projection from what they call the Tall Whites, or what we call the Anshar or the Nordics. And I've discovered recently from Pete Peterson that the Tall Whites are the Anshar. I did not realize that till very recently. It's been amazing. So I've had other information coming in besides just what Corey's got in this report. So the MIC people are very aware of these beings that look pretty much human, but their eyes are about one-fifth larger than ours. They have a kind of a whitish skin, sometimes very pale white. They can have blonde hair, sometimes white hair. And interestingly enough, they're in the first like 180 years of their life, and this is now what Pete was telling me, they'll be about our height, but then they start growing more, and they'll eventually get taller. And depending on whether you talk to Pete or Corey, there's a little bit of discrepancy in terms of how tall they get. Corey said they can get up to 9 feet tall towards the end of their lives, and they get very skinny and frail. So this is apparently, and Pete said that the names we gave these beings was just based on how they look. So Saurians, because they look like dinosaurs. Tall Whites, because they're people that look like us, but they're tall and they have white skin. Grays, same thing. So what he said ultimately, what Sigmund said, is that we as a UFO community have been psyoped to to unbelievable extremes. There's been so many covert agents that have come in and fed us so much BS, so many fake stories, that it's very difficult for us in this community to sort out truth from fiction. And one of the things that starts to happen is UFO religions. You know, people who they carve out one plot of land and they defend it furiously, and they want to be on the cutting edge. And I get that. You know, I get that that's something a lot of us want to do. And I also get that the story that Corey has brought to the table is so complex that basically you either go all in or you're all out. You can't kind of go in halfway on this thing.
No, you can't.
I mean, it's so complex that it's whole books could be written about it. And in fact, now that Corey has had some really cool intellectual and creative rights clear up, the book that I'm working on now, Awakening in the Dream, is going to have a lot of this stuff in it, the secret space program, the stuff that happened to Corey. It looks like I'm going to have to push ahead the release date because, as you know, Jimmy, personally, I'm not going to say it on the air, but there's been all kinds of towering fights with bureaucracy I've had in my private life that have been very intense. It's still not over, and I have not been able to work on this book, so I'm probably going to have to release it in spring 2019 now instead of August 2018. But it's going to be amazing. I've totally rewritten the whole structure in the last few days. Because of some of this stuff that happened to Corey now and getting an overview of what's really the most important thing to tell us. So he also said that that there's a lot of people in this Luciferian Illuminati.
Oh, before we get there.
Yep.
Sigmund said that ufology had been infiltrated by operatives of the military-industrial complex that had been feeding the experts disinfo for decades.
And then he
goes on here and says he went on to state that he had been involved in pulling a number of psyops in this community.
He did it himself. Yes.
That's right.
I thought it was interesting.
Well, and we've known that, for a long time, that we have plenty of examples and people that have admitted to this over the years. But to hear it like this and how this is put into the narrative of this document is pretty telling. Because then he goes on to say that ufology and its esoteric communities have been infiltrated by what he called a Luciferian order. Go ahead.
Right. So, look, I don't want to freak people out too much, but we do have to remember this group is real. They think they're the good guys. They've been advertising like crazy in Hollywood movies, in the Super Bowl halftime show, in the Grammy Awards, in music videos, in video games, television shows. It's like they're constantly wanting to advertise, and yet I believe, and I've been talking to people about this, the folks in our community, the researchers in our community, some part of them still, with all this evidence, with the people that have been through ritual abuse, that have come forward as whistleblowers telling horrible stories, we still can't quite really believe that these guys are real. There's still some part of us that, I don't really know, you know. Well, I got over that a long time ago because I met this Illuminati whistleblower named Savali, and she wrote very detailed stuff on the internet. I developed a personal relationship with her in 2001 just by phone. But there's no doubt when you get to somebody that real that this thing is absolutely real. And they have tried to get in there and taken their religious spin and tried to infiltrate our community with things that steer in that direction, which includes, by the way, the main negative thing they do is to try to get us to visualize mass doom and destruction, martial law, concentration camps, financial collapse, massive tsunamis, massive earth changes, massive depopulation. They want these things. So part of their religion is to try to make us believe that some big, horrible, doom and gloom thing is going to happen. And ever since I got online, 1995, I've been hearing this every 6 months or so, some big new story about how we're all about to die. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
And you know what else is interesting? I know that this is going on. I don't know how big it is, but what is really funny is, David, they have left me alone. On every, you know, I've been messed with a little bit, but they know, first off, I'm too smart, right? And I think they also know that this...
and very modest.
Well, it's the truth, though, that I would see through
I hear
it.
You.
You know, you have to be...
You're guided by the wisdom.
You're guided by
your intuition and your strong core of a good heart.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
And I have the ability to see through things. And those that are susceptible, that's who they go for. Right, and that's really the truth. I have spoken with people that they are so twisted up in their beliefs in certain areas. We don't have the time to get into it. That I know that that's an example of somebody that's been messed with. I haven't, you know.
Eating dinner, but we shouldn't skip dessert. And I think we gotta get to Oumuamua here before we run out of time.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. So actually, this is where he's at here.
We're about at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, he says we moved on to a few other topics, including a flyover tour we would receive of the Lunar Operation Command of the lava tubes, and then Sigmund stands up and says, "I have a treat for the both of you." Right? Walks up to a monitor and starts.
Big smart glass pad monitor comes down, and he gets to see a really amazing movie, like a documentary movie. And this, a little bit of backstory is interesting here. We were told by multiple insiders, I've heard this for a long time, even the guys from the MIC Secret Space Program, the guys that basically can't leave our solar system, have discovered that there are very, very ancient ruins of underground bases, obelisks, pyramids, and domes made out of a transparent aluminum material that looks like glass, but it's very, very strong, 5 times stronger than bulletproof glass. It's great for micrometeorites and all that stuff that you'd have on a moon with no atmosphere. You can have a very strong structure. But they've used advanced dating systems that we don't have access to in conventional science, and they've discovered that these things are probably 2.5 billion years old, or at least over a billion. They're not really sure, but it appears to be 2.5 billion years old. Well, the universe is 13.5 billion years old. Earth is only 4 billion years old. So that gives plenty of time for older civilizations, much older than our entire planet, to have come through, developed advanced technology, and built things here. And what's so interesting about this is that the Law of One appears to be authored by a group that was this ancient builder race. In the Law of One, they say that this group that was doing that work in the sixth dimension now, sixth density, started out in our third dimensional reality 2.5 billion years ago on Venus in our solar system, that they became very technologically advanced, and that they built pyramids and obelisks. So this is another really weird thing. Corey had never read the Law of One enough to understand this. Everything we've heard about the ancient builder race is totally what's in the Law of One. The same dating, the antiquity, the same types of structures they built, the level of technology they got, the fact that they all ascended and they left this stuff behind for us to find. Some other groups more recently have gone through and scratched off all the insignias, all the inscriptions, so we can't read their language. We haven't found any of the technology. It's all been plundered. And then comes Oumuamua. That's what's so cool.
And he stated that they have been monitoring this for quite a while.
That's right. They saw it coming in. They saw it. They've been watching it for a long time. And here's the really cool part. They thought that this outer barrier that was created around the year 2012 that has sealed all the bad guys in, because apparently what this does is when the solar flash happens, if you're ready for it, you get upgraded into this kind of light body, the next level of human evolution. If you're really one of the really dark, evil types like the Draco, you're not going to make it through this thing. Your body is not compatible with that energy. So they're all trying to escape, and they got trapped in here, and they can't escape. So they're very afraid of this. So anybody that tried to fly their craft through this barrier, it couldn't go. There's no way in, there's no way out, not even with radio or any of the advanced type of scalar communications. So what was so weird was they're watching this craft. They knew it was an old, ancient, derelict craft sailing towards the barrier and it goes right through without being damaged. And that shocked everybody because they didn't think this would happen. And right around the time that Corey heard about this, it had just been announced in the media. Here's NASA talking about a cigar-shaped, quote-unquote, asteroid that's glowing red, that looks like it's made of, quote-unquote, alien metal, and I'm quoting now from their own NASA press release. And we have guys like Stephen Hawking openly speculating that it might be, and I quote, a billion-year-old alien spacecraft. Well, how the hell do they know that? Why are they saying this? Why are they making this public? It's part of disclosure.
That's right.
It's part of breaking us into this thing. And the big punchline is, if you got our buddy Tom DeLong, who's telling us, I got a guy from Lockheed Skunk Works, he can build us a flying saucer with anti-gravity. We already know how to do it. Then the next step is they say, guess what, guys? We already have it. Guess what, guys? We went out to this thing. We landed on it. Guess what we saw inside?
Yeah, Gonzalez says, and I'm quoting here, I led an expedition to see who this craft belonged to, and wait until you hear what we found. We've got we've got 3 minutes left, David. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
I know. We did 2.5 straight hours. Okay, go ahead.
So they went inside. I'm going to summarize this quickly. They went inside. They were able to get in. They found machines. They found various types of beings held in stasis. They found written inscriptions. It's very amazing. Corey got to see the film, and he then found out that they're getting ready to tell us about this. Like, this is going to be part of disclosure, apparently. And Sigmund also showed him this area in which they found these mining machines, apparently from the ancient builder race. We're not really sure. But they're building these massive crystalline shards out of whatever the natural lunar material is there. And it's absolutely massive, totally strange technology. And here you have Sigmund saying, this is going to be on television. Everybody's going to be seeing this thing at this LOC Bravo location. That's really the kind of grand finale is this. He said, Corey, you've been here before, but you just don't remember. One day in the not-too-far future, I will be standing here with a reporter from a major television network. For now, we must still keep what you're shown here today confidential. And Corey said he was taken on an amazing tour that he's been through before, but he can't tell us the fullness of what he saw. But he did see this amazing ancient machine that creates long beams out of a gray crystalline material, which clearly looks like it's left over from the actual ancient builder race.
Yeah, he says he says here that it's just like millions of years old. It's just been sitting there forever, and these beams, these crystal beams, are broken apart and are on the ground and have obviously been there for a very long time. And then he says something else here. And man, I can't believe we're out of time, David. But you know what? Everybody,
we're at the end.
Yeah, it will all be posted up on Divine Cosmos tomorrow, and you can read it and go into full detail. But he says this. He said the ship was obviously very ancient and had been boarded and stripped of technology many times by unknown races. He said Sigmund stated that when they tested the sludge that they had scraped from the outside of the ship, determined that it was the remains of the original crew.
You had to throw that one in, didn't you?
Oh, man. You know, this is absolutely extraordinary. And again, I just want the audience to know, David and I went through this the best that we could without Corey being here. This is Corey's writing. This is Corey's document. We have read through it many times, but it's complex. It's compelling. And it's comprehensive. It's 26 pages long. And David is going to get this up on Divine Cosmos tomorrow. David, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, I just have to say, in summary and conclusion here, this is very exciting because every character and every storyline that Corey has given us since this started has all been resolved and come to a climax in this article. It's as if it's like the big bow tie that's been tied on this whole work that we've done for 2.5 years. It has an incredibly positive message because it sounds like we're actually going to get full disclosure, we're going to get the defeat of the bad guys, both on Earth and in space. We're going to get fantastic technology. And some of these things, hopefully most of these things we're talking about, will become common knowledge sooner than we think. And that is worth fighting for. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I want to read this. This is the last line that is in the document. But Corey says, once we were done, we were taken to a mess hall and allowed to eat and shower. We were taken back to the LOC where we both boarded separate DART craft and were flown back to our home destinations. Period.
Wow. Well, I'm going to write a conclusion, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's where it ends right now.
Exactly. David, thank you so much. Be safe and be well. We'll have updates about Corey and what is going on. We'll do that tomorrow. David, say,
I can't believe we got through the whole thing, dude.
I can't believe it either. And say goodnight to everybody, and we'll see you at some point over the next few days.
Well, thanks, everybody. And please remember to harness the power of your prayers and loving thoughts for Corey. He is in an emergency room type of facility right now. It's probably related to this, so we want to send him healing energy, surround him with light, and just wish him a speedy recovery.
Thank you, David, and get some rest, and we'll talk first thing tomorrow.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Thank you. David Wilcock, everybody.